Morning. Welcome back to All Villages Online. We pray that this time, this study, is benefiting not only your knowledge, but really your relationship with the Lord, your faith in Him. But before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your Son, for your love for us. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We ask that you would take this time and bless it and use it so that we can know you better, know you more faithfully, and follow you more faithfully. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, last few weeks, we've been talking about the book of John and looking at how there's all these various signs or signposts that John has included to help us know who is this Jesus, to kind of lay out these kind of signposts to help us to know that the Lord Almighty is putting the world back to rights. So there's these seven signs or miracles that Jesus does that John orders him in a certain way. We're going to get to the seventh one today. And then there's also these seven I am statements. We don't have time for that, but I would love for you to keep digging in and keep looking for these where Jesus declares who he is outright. And it's just really powerful, really powerful. But again, one of the things that's really important when it comes to John is you got to look for clues. Look for all the things that's going on. There's several conversations that happen in the text, John chapter 2, John chapter 3, John chapter 4, that Jesus is talking about heavenly things, and yet people are kind of thinking earthly ways and kind of thinking he's talking about just like literal things, kind of things, you know, down here. And yet God's wanting to restore us, renew us, and it's going to take new thinking. It's going to take a new understanding and a new relationship, a new way of coming to know who Jesus and who the Lord is. So John does this by laying little breadcrumbs all throughout the text, and every detail matters. It's really important that you know that there's nothing by accident in John's gospel. And so when there's certain things laying out, just pay attention and try to spend some time, ask good questions. And if you need to, reach out to someone else, reach out to us at the church. We want to help you in growing in that. A great way to help is getting God's word, reading in ways that you can understand it. And so just a little plug for Immerse. So today, we're going to pick one of my favorite verses from the King James. And this is kind of how the seventh sign, the seventh miracle that John records for us. And I title it, He Stinketh. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but this story of Lazarus being raised from the dead, this disciple whom Jesus loves, that he just wants to, he does something in a way that foreshadows something that God's going to do in him. And but that phrase, He Stinketh, is just pure. It's just so good. So we're going to jump into John chapter 11. And again, invite you to open up your scriptures. I'll again have it on the screen, but again, don't be afraid. Take notes. Write question marks. Write things that jump out at you in the text. And well, let's jump into it. Ready? So now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So it's almost like I just want to kind of jump in here. That right from the beginning we have this. Okay, this is what's going on. Lazarus is sick. There's this Mary and Martha, so they're all related. They're all family, brothers, sisters. And it's almost like John wants us to kind of start going, how aware is God to the things of this world, the challenges that we face? How aware is God when we have prayed for one thing and seem like God just didn't even know? Like we're telling him, in case you didn't know, this is what's going on, God. And he's like, I got it. I know all, but yet he invites us to lean in and trust him when we think he might not be aware of things. The text goes on to say this. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Now, just to be clear, he knows Lazarus is sick and he decides to stay 2 more days. Again, what's going on here? It goes on, the text says, and then he said to his disciples, after he's been there 2 days, he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. So which brings another question, and please understand that this is natural reactions people have, if they're thinking of spiritual matters. Is God late? Like, was he unaware that Lazarus was sick? Apparently not. He knew he was sick. He was informed he was sick, and then still decided to wait. Now, something that you need to understand, too, is we've already seen an account, and if you've been with us for a bit, where Jesus is at a wedding and he changes water into wine. It's the very first sign that John shares with us. And it's, you know, his mom's kind of like, hey, you know, you should go take care of this, right? And he's like, you know, that's not my time. And we get from the very beginning that Jesus only does what he feels, what he believes, what he understands, what he discerns God leading him to do. And so it's like he would have, I mean, you'd think, oh, he's going to go there. They're friends of his. He loves them. He cares about them. And yet he stays. And it's almost that he's waiting for God to give him the green light, the go sign. And a lot of times in our lives, we just go to God and like, God, you need to do this, or this is what's got to happen. And he's like, okay, I'm on it. And sometimes he appears like God is late, but he isn't. He's got his perfect timing. He knows what he's doing, and he knows where he's taking and restoring and renewing this entire world, the entire universe even. And so we have to, this is where it's so difficult. We sometimes, especially the under 40 and even maybe under 50, we tend to think more of, well, it's what I do that makes X or Y or Z happens. But I just had a conversation with a gentleman today who said, you know, when I was younger, I used to think that. And as I get older, I'm looking going, wait a minute, maybe it's more about what God is doing and I just need to pay attention and be open to that. How receptive are you when God does something that you're not expecting or hoping for or praying for? Or maybe he's not doing what you expect him to do. It's a challenging time for all of us, but there's something about that freedom and that peace that we can have that Jesus offers if we truly surrender that to him and say, Lord, not my will, but your will. Let's jump back into the text. Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad. I underline that, obviously, because I think that's just crazy. When we read it, if somebody was to say to me, okay, well, just time out for this. If somebody was to come up to me, and again, I'm not saying I'm Jesus, but just kind of how this conversation went, and said, hey, so-and-so is in the hospital. They got COVID or something like that, and it's not looking good. I'm so glad this happened. You know, like that probably wouldn't be the best approach there, pastorally-wise. But again, not saying I'm Jesus, but just hear where he's going with this. It's not an accident. It's not random. He's not late. He's not unaware. But listen to how Jesus does this. For your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that, big important words, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Is God distant? I say no. God isn't distant. It seems that way sometimes. It seems like God's unaware. It seems like God is late, but he's not. He's there for us. He's there with us. A lot of times we don't see it, but that doesn't mean he's not there. It doesn't mean that he isn't with us. The name Jesus, actually it's Yeshua in the Hebrew. There's really not a J in the Hebrew or the Greek, but and Yeshua means Yahweh saves. That the Lord God saves. And I just think that's beautiful. It's just a great way of just kind of laying out for everyone. Don't miss this, that God is rescuing the whole world. He's not distant. He's not ignorant. He's not far away in that he doesn't even know what's happening. Put that in today's terms, in today's context, with the election and the challenges people are struggling to wrestle with in that, the division in our country, the pandemic in our world. Is God distant? That's a fair question that a lot of people are asking. But we have God's answer, and it's Jesus. And it's Jesus from being born, putting flesh on, putting skin on, through his ministry, through his death on the cross. That's his answer to evil and injustice. And his resurrection is what we hope into and lean into and know that God is so good and so faithful. God is not distant. And this is how we know this. Again, another example from the scriptures. So again, lean into it. It's okay to ask these questions. If again, you have an open heart and you're saying, Lord, help me to know, help me to understand, what is it that you have for me? On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, 4 days. Why is this important? Because at that time period, they believed that the spirit left after 3 days of the person. And so this, even in the text, and I kind of jump around because this is like almost the entire chapter here is Lazarus. And we didn't you know, it'd be a lot for you and for me. But when it comes to here, he's like, it's been in the tomb 4 days. So just so you know, there's no chance. You could do anything, God, but come on. So the challenge here is, okay, he's been there 4 days. There's nothing humanly possible. I think that's what John really wants us to understand. There's nothing humanly possible that Jesus can do. They didn't believe the Messiah, which again, John is making a big case for that, but it's even bigger than that. They didn't believe the Messiah was going to raise the dead. They believed there was going to be a resurrection at the end of time, at the judgment, at the time when God was to bring everyone together and really restore and renew forever. And so they're like, it's too late. Then it goes on, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. I don't think Mary's not wanting to see Jesus, but it's just one of those things that for whatever reason, they really wants to know what Martha's talking about. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had, how many times do we ask that question? If you had turned that hurricane the other way or that tornado, if you had not let that boss come into my world and change my life or that business partner, if you had only, and yet those are the times that truly test our faith, the metal, the is it truly something that will sustain us, or is it something that we just go through the motions? And going through the motions, faith will not last the journey. It won't help us finish the race and run the race well. If you had, a fair question. Jesus, by the way, in his response, I don't go into it, but he does not get offended by this. Martha even goes into saying that, you know, God will give you whatever you ask. I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus goes, your brother will rise again. Like he's even trying to let her know, your brother will rise again. Text goes on to say this, and again, just kind of how he replies with it, how he responds to it, and how Martha's taken this in. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Again, good stuff, important stuff, but something that just for her, not helpful. You know, it's like, he's in a better place. Martha's like, great, not helpful. You know, I'm still in grief and loss and shock. We let you know he was sick. You weren't here, if only. And it's fair for her to struggle with it. And notice how Jesus doesn't get offended, doesn't walk away, doesn't. Jesus said to her, and she's just been talking, I know that there's going to be a resurrection. Now notice how he switches this. Not there's going to be a resurrection. I'm going to tell you there is going to be a resurrection. No, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? I think it's so important for us to really wrap our minds around how important it is that each one of us answers this question. Do we believe in this Jesus? Do we believe in this God who's not only given everything up, that came as Jesus so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could be restored in him and be restored with one another? We're challenged to believe in, especially in spite of those hard, difficult circumstances. As we believe in, we'll experience his peace. As we believe in, God draws us in and helps us have the grace and the strength to continue to press on. I have found that as I believe in, I become more aware of my lack of faith, of my disbelief, or even my disobedience. And that's when I have to repent. That's when I have to humble myself and turn back to God and say, Lord, I'm really sorry. I messed up. Can you give me the grace? Can you give me the strength? Can you help transform me so I can become more into the image you have for me? The text goes on to say, and he's like, hey, listen, we're going to roll the stone away. But he goes, take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man. Okay, again, this is great. By this time, he stinketh, for he's been there 4 days. It's like there's nothing humanly possible. There's nothing that you as a Messiah can do. She does believe, but she believes, again, he's the Messiah, not that he is the resurrection and life, that not only will there be a good hope in the future, but that he is our hope even now. And that's something a lot of times as Christians we miss. We miss how much God has invested in us. We don't have that perspective. We miss how much God believes in what he's doing, and he's wanting to transform and renew us and the world. We think it's maybe something that we do on Sundays or something we do that's not we're a part of it. And that's the part where Jesus is Lord of all. And we can't have this kind of dichotomy that this is super spiritual. This is not spiritual at all. That Jesus is Lord of all. And we have to turn and surrender everything to him. The text goes on to say, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you? So they end up taking away the stone. And he ends up giving this beautiful prayer, but he says this prayer that says, like, you know, Lord, just so everyone will know, just so everyone will know, would you please help them believe, help them to see this so that they know that you're good. The text goes on to say this. Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. I think that's great because if he just says, come out, I think everyone would have came. But he's like, I need to be specific in this moment. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Let him go. What would dinner have been like for Lazarus later? I don't know if he was extra hungry. I don't know if, you know, you're at the dinner party kind of hanging out. I'm sure word spreads around quickly. This guy was dead. He's now alive. We're not talking like, you know, CPR or anything. Like dead 4 days. Not three, four kind of thing, right? Like he had the, you know, stamp of no mas, no more. He's not making it. So what was it like on the other side? You know, like, you know, were you hungry? Were you, you know, sleeping? All this thing. And so you have all these questions. I don't know. I fathom a little bit of that, just kind of how the challenge, I think, that we would have struggled with when it came to you don't just talk about the weather with Lazarus, right? You're like, oh, Lazarus is coming. What question can we ask him now about, you know, what he experienced? Moving on. Sorry, I digress. So we've looked at a few different miracles flat out, you know, for our Sunday time, but just kind of give you a rundown, right? The very first one, water into wine, Cana wedding, the healing of an official son. Then we have a healing of a crippled man. Then we have a feeding of the 5,000. Sorry, we've got four here. The fifth one's Jesus walking on water. The sixth one is he gives sight to a blind man. And then seventh one is this Lazarus being raised from the dead. Seven in biblical numerology, biblical structures of how they organize the text is very important. So much so that like it would have been a giant neon sign saying this was what the whole reason I was writing about kind of thing, right? These signs, this whole book of signs and up to the 12th chapter kind of thing, you know, 1 through 11 and begin 12, you have this whole kind of what God was doing through this Jesus and all these things that are to help them understand that this Jesus is so much more than anyone could have ever prayed for, everyone could have ever hoped for. This Jesus is not only Messiah, but he's God, and he became one of us. Emmanuel is what that name means. One of us, that he wasn't okay for him to be distant. He was very aware of our plight, of the chasm between us and God. And so he said, this is the exact time I need to do this. And became, again, this 100% God, 100% man, this Jesus who restores still today, who rescues still today, that he invites us. And so the question I have for you is, what do you believe in? Where have you felt God was late? Where have you felt that God was unaware? Where have you felt that God was distant? That he just doesn't, He's just so out to lunch. He just doesn't even know. He's so far away. He can't help us. When I pray, he's not coming. Where do you need to humble yourself, repent, and say, Lord, I need to believe more in you. I need to believe in spite of my circumstances, in spite of the situation. How can I trust more in you? How can I have that faith that these disciples end up having? Now, they technically, as we read the text, they technically don't know what's going on. Okay, they really don't in this point. But even Mary and Martha, who believe in Jesus and believe he's even the one to promise to help bring a relationship to God, still doesn't know that he is the very image of God. And he's where our hope goes. So where do you need God to give you more faith, more trust in him? How can you truly breathe in afresh and breathe out and let him have all that you've been carrying and not feel you have to carry it on your own anymore? I'd like you to consider that as we take a moment to pray, take a moment in a minute to sing, to declare God's goodness and glory, but also just to know that God is moving. He's moving in our country, in our community, in our world. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. Would you pray with me? Beautiful, beautiful God, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you for where he meets us and the grace that he gives and the gentleness and patience he has. When we have our big questions, when we have our struggles, when we're frustrated, when we're angry, when we don't trust in you or believe in you enough, help us to know that he meets us there and that his grace is sufficient for us. I also want to take a moment and give thanks for all those who have served in our country, who have heard the call, who have leaned in. We ask that you'd bless them, bless their families, help them in the relationship with you, help them protect those that are currently serving, especially in today's world. We just turn them all over to you and pray your will be done ultimately. We pray this in your son's beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, I want to kind of draw attention again to the resurrection and help you to understand we hope from the future. We hope from the future. It's our reality, our life now. It's the resurrection, though, is a person, not an event, not just an event. It's this Jesus. And we hope from the future. We don't just look to the future. We don't just hope in the future. We hope from the future. Here today, that's another reason why this matters now, that our faith matters today. Just to again remind you, we have some homework here. If you've been able to keep up with us, great. We're going to be entering Advent here soon, the end of November, and so we won't have as much homework over that time. So if you struggled reading into John, just know it's okay. You can catch up during the month of December. So, but John 18 through 21. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has called you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. We'll see you next week.